And now on the line we have Mr. Cedric Dempsey. Great to have you on the show, Cedric. How are you?
We're doing fine, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Are you in San Diego this time of year?
Yes, we are most of the time. Experience from probably the worst winter we've had here.
So it must be 59 degrees.
Yeah, all right, about 59 or 60, and I think we've already about 3 inches over the annual rainfall.
Oh. Well, you need to move to Tucson where it's pleasant, as usual.
We're doing fine. No, thanks, Steve.
Great to have you on the show. I was going to say, probably the most respected man in the Arizona history that I know of. How much do you miss being the AD at Arizona, or do you?
Oh, I don't know that I've given any thought about missing it. I love the institution and try to help wherever I can from time to time and stay in close with touch with Dave and others. And so I feel like I'm still part of it.
Yeah.
And still feel a great deal of loyalty to the place. But I the day-to-day activities I don't miss too much.
No, I would imagine. That was probably a bad question. But back in the day, you were always busy. When you first arrived here, I think it was 82. I could be wrong. 82. What did you see when you first arrived and maybe what you were up against?
Well, I think of some of Greg's first year and some of Dave's first year since then. I'm not quite familiar going back on Jim's, but... it was a trying time because I think the week after I was hired, we went before the NCAA for the infractions that occurred in the 70s. And, so we were dealing with the penalties that were levied against the institution. And, I think, always had great admiration for Larry Smith and what he was able to accomplish through the period of time when we were not eligible for a couple of years for postseason play. And yet he was able to recruit well and compete well during that time. So that was a tough time. And I think the morale of the program and internally as well as within the community was pretty low. And so trying to rebuild some confidence in the program was one of the challenges. And the institution at that time, my first year there, it was a $450,000 deficit that we faced. And President Coffer said one of your first charges is to erase that in the first year. So we had the financial issues to deal with. And then, of course, we had a horrible basketball season the first year. And so it was a pretty good challenge.
Well, you were
emotionally, financially, competitively, and trying to at that point in time, people probably don't remember, but on a national basis, if you said you were in Arizona, oh, you mean Tempe?
Yeah, right. No, yeah.
And that was a big charge, I think, from my standpoint, was to try to develop an identity with the program that had been lacking.
And lo and behold, you pull a rabbit out of your hat and do a fantastic job in going to an NCAA tournament. I think it was in Philadelphia at the time, and convince a white-haired man to come to Tucson.
Well, it was actually in Kansas City.
Oh, was it Kansas City? That's where the Final Four was? Okay, then not where he lost.
No, but I saw Lute in the regional finals. He was at the top of my list, and I'd met him and watched him when he was at Long Beach State and saw him overcome some really adversity in the 1 year he was there because followed Jerry Tarkanian, and they were in some serious infraction problems, and at the same time had, I think, really at in the middle of the year, he lost two outstanding All-American players and probably was the best team in the country. They finished 24-2, and he had all that adversity to deal with. I remember when he came into to Stockton when I was at the University of Pacific, and we had had a 54 home game win streak going, and he beat us by 24 points when in that afternoon he lost his two best players.
Right.
So I kind of watched him from that point on, and always tried to keep a list of some prospects if something went wrong somewhere in any of the sports, and he was always one that I followed. He actually came to Houston when he was in Iowa, and we played us, and that's when Drexler and Lajuan and all of those kids were freshmen, and almost beat us down there. And again, it reaffirmed what I thought was one of the premier coaches in the country, and he certainly proved that over his time he had in Arizona.
Yeah.
So we were very fortunate. That helped turn the program around, and then we, you know, people often ask about what I thought the strengths of the program were. And I look at the coaches that we had and staff people that we had during that time, and it was really, I think, four or five of those coaches have been put in to their respective coaches' hall of fames across the country. It was an outstanding group of people to work with, and to accept the challenge that we had to get through the violations and the financial issues we have, and they all pull together really well.
No question. I was going to go there with you. You had some of the best, we kind of like call it the Mount Rushmore of Arizona coaches. You hired Dick Tomey, who had some great years. You hired, I think, Frank Bush at the time. We've had him on the show. Candrea, Kendall was here. Fantastic coaches.
Yeah, and Dave Rubio. Still there, did a good job, and Harvey was still there. Well, he actually took Dave Murray's place, but he was there at the time as an assistant. And I thought it was a special group of people, and not only was their coaching ability, but as human beings and working with young people, they fit what we were trying to accomplish.
Yeah, no question. And you had some right-hand people that did tremendous work for you, Bachrath, and I've had Rocky on the show a couple times, and she spent some time with you. I mean, come on, better people than that, I don't know where you find them.
No, John Perrin was a great excellent guy with a pen, and I felt very fortunate. And of course, I think a key to good administration is surround yourself with strong people.
Yeah.
And we were very fortunate during that period.
Yeah, those were the good old, I like to refer them to the good old days of Arizona athletics during that time. A lot of success, a lot of good people, a lot of good friends. And back when I covered it, and I was a young man then, I think you build those relationships and you have a rapport with the reporters and the coaches. And I just remember how well you guys treated us and how I felt fair we treated you guys.
Well, I think it was fair. And, of course, the university is an important part of that community, and I think there's always been a good relationship in that sense between town and gown, if you will.
Right.
And they took a lot of respect, I think, for what was being done, and the quality of the people, I think, encouraged people to get more and more involved with the program.
Right, you had been here. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, before they had the current way of ranking programs in the country, there was a program, I guess it was in Alabama or someplace, a newspaper that always ranked the top programs in the country, and there were four or five of those years where our program was ranked number three in the country, so it was helped gain some national identity, I think, that it helped the program grow and fit into the Pac-12 well.
No question. Maybe the last question before we go to break, but how difficult was it at time when you decided to leave and become the guy at the NCAA? How difficult of a decision was that?
Extremely. My goal was to finish up at Arizona. And I said that when I went back, I always wanted to go back to Arizona from the time we left in the 60s, that we were there for 4 years. And was quite interested all through the period that I was gone. And so when the opportunity came to be able to come back to Arizona, was the place that we wanted to be and live, and the people we always enjoyed and still in many ways consider at home. So it was an extremely difficult decision to make, and I did feel that intercollegiate sports had been really good to me and my own career and my own beliefs, and I felt that it was an opportunity. I just needed to give back to the profession.
Yeah, no question. Talking with former UA athletic director Cedric Dempsey. Thanks for joining me, Ced. I wanted to see if you could maybe play some word games with me here. You've had some great coaches. Just your quick thoughts on some of the coaches I'll send to you. Dick Tomey, just what he meant to you and maybe the program when he was with you.
Well, it was kind of interesting in his hiring process, too. I actually had talked with, I'll just say Ohio State coach at that time, who was quite interested in coming. After I'd kind of offered him a job, I had a chance to meet with Dick, and I began to think, you know, I've made a mistake here. that Dick, I thought, would fit in at Arizona really well, and his values and mine were very similar. And so I was, I have to say, I was pleased when the other coach came in and said, you know, I just decided I can't leave. And I accepted that very quickly and contacted Dick, and he was so entrenched in Hawaii. It was a difficult sell, but his AD at that time told him, Dick, you've got to go. you need to take that opportunity, and certainly he was one of my best hires I ever had, and one of the most wonderful guys to work with. I've often said that a key to an athletic program is the football and basketball coach, because they get so much attention and in terms of the rapport and attitude within a department. It takes, you know, they can be sort of remote from the rest of the staff, and Dick was just the opposite. You'd see him at a women's tennis match, you'd see him at all kinds of activities within the department, and really helped develop, I think, the rapport an attitude within the department.
Yeah, no question. Let me throw a curve at you real quick along those lines. Bruce Larson, in terms of, because he was like a mentor to you. You were together at the same time. You were an assistant for him, I think.
I was. I had an interesting job back in those days. What people don't realize, I was the first full-time paid staff person as an assistant in basketball. That's all that Bruce had. They used graduate assistants up until that time. I was teaching graduate courses, sponsored master's theses, and helping him in basketball, coaching the freshman team and helping him with the varsity. I was not allowed, because of my teaching responsibility, to go out recruiting during the year. But at that time, we scouted a lot. We didn't have the television opportunities and filming opportunities that they had today. So I did have that chance. But I had tremendous, and still do have, respect for Bruce. I thought he did an unbelievable job under extreme difficulties at Arizona. He didn't have the tools that many of the other schools had, but his as an excellent old guy, he was as good as I've ever been around. One thing I always admired about Bruce, he could sit down after the game with the team and really do the analysis of what the strengths and what the weaknesses were. And usually coaches are so emotional at that time, they want a little time to settle down before they kind of reevaluate the team. But I enjoyed that experience very much, and it gave me a greater tie into the university. But Bruce is one of the best.
Yeah, no question. Great guy, smart man, and especially a great basketball mind. No question.
Yes.
Yes. What about Mike Candrea?
Well, you know, Mike is an icon in this sport. Developed the slap hitting, obviously was an Olympic coach, and he obviously has been the most successful coach in the history of Arizona, in terms of the number of national championships he's won and his coaching the Olympic team. He seems to have a great ability and a role model with working with young women, and I can't say enough of good things about it. He's proven himself, and it's interesting that a lot of people didn't want us to hire him at that time because he was an ASU grad.
Some of them turned out okay.
Some of them turn out okay, right?
what about a guy I had on the show maybe about 3 weeks ago, Frank Bush?
Well, Frank, we had some difficulty with his predecessor and had to make a change. And Mike McGee, who was the AD at USC and had been the AD at Cincinnati, called me and said, you know, I really think you ought to look at this young guy. I said, he's very capable. I have a great respect for him. And as I interviewed him, I think we connected really well. And he's done an outstanding job again. He's one of those that's an icon in his own field and went on and became a leader on a national level for USA Swimming and Olympic movement. He's is a great human being.
Yes.
I think key to this, that's the start anyway.
No question. I had him on the show, and I always love hearing his stories because he speaks so clearly and slowly and tells you exactly what he feels. And it's always like, it's like going to church, and then you finish with it and you say, you know what, it's going to be a good day.
Yeah. And he did a great job recruiting.
Yeah.
Our facilities were okay, but not the best in the world. And he did an outstanding job with that. And I'm sure his son's going to do the same.
Yeah. What about, let's go with Rubio, because he was one of your hires as well.
Yes, David was at Bakersfield. And again, as I actually, I'd hired a Terry. Mental block a second here, who was a coach at University of Pacific when I was there, and Terry had gone on and was the Olympic coach, and when we were looking, I called him and talked to him, and he said, well, one of the up-and-coming volleyball coaches in this country was David, and so I had a chance to talk with him again. His quality and his values were very compatible, and he's very dedicated, I think, to working with young people, and found Arizona was a place for him, and he's done an outstanding job over the years.
No question. 25 years later, he's won his 500th match and doing pretty good.
He's doing pretty good.
Yes, yes, yes. What about maybe going back? I know you didn't hire him, but Coach Kendall, just your thought, your memories on him?
Jerry, our first meeting with Jerry, when I came to Arizona for an interview, I had a chance to sit down with each of the coaches. Jerry and I were in a room together, and he started asking me questions about what would you do in this situation or what would you do in that situation. And I paused and I said, "Now, Jerry, aren't you a candidate for this job?"
Smart man, smart man.
He paused and we started laughing. We became very close. And I guess one thing I will never forget when I was going through some cancer situations, and I think it was actually when I had heart surgery there. I awakened in the middle of the night and felt somebody holding my hand. Looked up and it was Jerry praying for me.
Wow.
That was a very meaningful time. And again, the quality of individual, there's just none better in his ability. And what he accomplished, I think he is the only person that was ever played on the national championship team, coached the national championship team, was played pro football or baseball, and played in the World Series. I don't think there's another person that had that experience in all those sports.
Yeah, all that time. Yes, yes. And maybe finally, although you talked about how you did go about hiring him, and just maybe Lute, when you finally had the chance to get him and maybe get to know him.
Well, I was actually sitting right behind the scorer's bench, and they were playing Villanova. Iowa was, and I wanted to be there if I could get us. The chance seemed to be reasonable to get together with him, but it came down to, and this was going the Elite Eight, and it was coming down to the Final Four. And Lute was behind. I was behind by 1 point, and his best player got fouled right at the end of the game and had two free throws.
Bobby Hansen, I think it was. Bobby Hansen?
No, it wasn't Hansen. I can't remember exactly what it was at that time. May have been Hansen, but I don't think so. He missed both free throws and he lost the ball game.
Right.
I often wondered whether or not, had he won that game and gone on to the Final Four at Iowa, whether I would have ever had a chance to really talk with him. But after he finished his press conference, I met him in the hallway and I said, "Luke, would you be willing to talk with me about our job?" And he said, I said, "I know this is not the best time, but I talked to Bump Elliott, who was the AD, about getting permission to talk with him." And so he said, "Why don't you come over and have breakfast with Bobby and me on Sunday?" So I did, and we spent about 2 to 3 hours talking, and he said, "I'd like to have you meet my family."
Right, right.
And he brought all his family in, and they all had chairs, and they sat I was in the middle of a semicircle with all of them. And we got talking, and I started thinking, who's being interviewed here?
Right, right, right. No, I remember that.
And then I said, "Would you be interested in visiting if I got a plane and get you down and without any hoopla about your coming in?" And he and Bobby were interested enough to come, and I put him out at Westward Look. I will never forget.
I remember that very well. Very well.
You remember that story?
With the woman, you know, no one would ever know he's here. You're at Westward Look, you're outside of the outskirts of Tucson, and then a woman from Iowa sees him.
Yes, Lute opened the door for her. It was, I think, a senior citizen.
Yes.
Opened the door for breakfast that morning, and she looked up at him and said, "You're Lute Olson. What are you doing here?"
Right, right. The cat's out of the bag.
And I had brought in I was bringing in one other person in case he didn't work out. And he basically accepted, but he said, you know, I want to go home and tell my team.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been through that experience where they go home and never come back.
Sure.
And I agreed with him, and actually the other person was, we were at the Arizona Inn, and I went in and told him that I'd offered Luke the job, and I'm not, she wants to go home, and I said, I don't want to create any exposure for you problems, and if you want to stay here on vacation for a week, we'll put you up at the resort, or if you want to go home, I'll get you back home. And
right.
He was actually unpacking his bag, and he said, I think I'd like to go home if you'd get me home. So,
yeah, and those, some great times in getting a good coach here, some tough decisions by an AD at the time, and what a wonderful job. And maybe when you're in town, if you're in town, because you're in town every now and again, we can have you in and we can reminisce some more. Keeping Lute was another issue. He, you know, I had a chance a couple times to go to Kentucky, and again, he didn't go. He worked a little magic, and he stayed.
Well, I think one, you know, that happened twice.
Yeah.
Where they
mm-hmm.
came after. The first time, I wasn't really, you know, I was concerned, but they did not have Bobby in the recruiting process, and Bobby was a very important part of Lute's decision making.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were a team, and she was pretty well left out of that that process.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought I was on pretty good ground that he wasn't going to leave.
No question. I remember that very well. If you don't include her, you're out of the picture.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. Well, Cedric, I appreciate it. Like I said, maybe when you're in town again, in Tucson, we can have you in the studio and maybe get you some lunch, and we'll reminisce again.
Well, we try to get over golf, and we've got a daughter, granddaughter, and a great granddaughter there, so we try to get over and see them as often as we can, and I would look forward to that, Steve. And I know you've got Bill Frieder coming on next.
Now,
that's a story.
Yes, no, actually, he was earlier in the hour before.
He was.
Yeah. Great, one of the great characters of the college basketball scene.
Well, I still think the ads that he and Lute did are the best I've ever seen.
Yeah, we talked about that. What was your favorite one? I said my favorite one was when he wanted to be the best-looking coach in the state.
Yeah, I remember that one. That was good. Those are. I wonder if somebody's got all those.
They're on YouTube. If you ever want to review them, just Google them on YouTube.
Go to YouTube. Okay.
Yeah, they're up there.
I'll do that.
They're up if you want to laugh. Cedric, thank you for coming on. Appreciate
it. All right, Steven.
Take
good
care.
We'll see you over there sometime.
Great. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
That was one of the great guys, Cedric Dempsey of the Arizona Athletic Department. Always enjoy talking to Cedric. Great storyteller. I always enjoy talking to Cedric Dempsey. I don't get to spend 30 minutes with him all the time, and that was about 30 minutes of talking the good old days. I love the good old days.
He made lots and lots of big decisions.
Oh, heck yes.
Holy cow.
Heck yes. I forgot that he was the AD, the incoming AD, when all the problems were happening with the NCAA violations back in the late 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't on him. It was on the previous administration, but he had to kind of clear it up. Kind of like what Dave Hickey's going through now with basketball and football, where it's, you know, he wasn't here when all this mess happened. He just happens to be the guy that has to deal with it now.
Interesting that he mentioned that he stays in contact with Dave, too.
Yeah. That's not a surprise. Let me tell you, Cedric and Rocky and some of the older administrators, no, I shouldn't say older, but older, longtime administrators here are still connected nationally to a lot of the great coaches that are out there.
Mm.
And, you know people who know people and do a lot of the, how can I say this, smart work for the current staff or maybe previous staff where they don't know or have those connections.
Hmm.
And they kind of the current or recent administration picks their brain to see who's out there and who's the right guy to come and maybe get some advice from.
Makes sense.
Cedric is one of those guys and has long been one of those guys. Loot was one of those guys back in the day when, you know, they'd ask him, who's a good coach? Who would you not want to play? And who's, you know, who do you recommend to get the job? That was not too long ago, maybe 15, 20 years ago, when Loot was, you know, they used to go to Loot. What do you think? What do you think? This guy, that guy. And he would kind of recommend this guy or that guy. And Cedric, too, Rocky LaRose is one of those people, too, where they'd come and they say, what do you think about this guy or that guy? I think you remember her talking about stuff like that, where they'd have some input and things like that. And Dave could not go wrong by asking these people because, you know, he's 2 years in now and still probably kind of still trying to figure his way around that building and the donors and the older donors who have been here a long time.
Probably up to a couple of therapists by now, I would think.
I was walking with him not too long ago, and I think that he'd be okay with me saying it was after a press conference, and I think they had just shown us the new facility, and it was after a game, and we were walking home walking to the car, and he was going to the office, and I said, well, that's why you get the big bucks, man. You get some big decisions to make. It ain't easy when you're making a lot of money, when much is given to where much is expected, or whatever that saying is. It's tough. Let me tell you, the people in that building need to figure out how to get people in the stands. Mm-hmm. One, how to keep them in the stands. Two, where to kind of chase the money to kind of give donations from. Three, there's a lot of things going on.
Keep your staff out of jail. Four.
Keep your staff happy and engaged. Five. It ain't easy, especially when you have a lot of people under you, where they have to make smart decisions.
It's awesome.
The good thing is my kids are older now. They're on their own doing well, and now it's just on me. That ain't easy.
And nobody walks with you to the car.
No one says, hey, Steve, yeah, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? That's a good thing. I'm okay with that. You know, I'll make my bad decisions on my own. Thank you very much. But it's a good show today. And we'll talk about this more on the other side of the break. I know we're running about 8 minutes late, so we'll take a break maybe in about 3 or 4 minutes for our final go-around. But I was looking forward to today, given that we had Carla Garrett. I got a note from Pima saying they loved the interview with her. And it was fun because I just wanted to have fun. She's like a good old girl from back in my neck of the woods, waxing poetic. And it was funny because about within the last 6 months, it had to be 6 months, they did a story from the local paper breaking down the top 10 all-time best athletes out of Santa Fe, New Mexico, a town of 55, maybe 70,000 now. And it wasn't even close. To me, it wasn't even close.
Top 10? They had that many out of Santa Fe?
They've had a few, yes. They've had a few. In fact, a lot of them were not from my time. They were in the recent 20 years, 10 years. But back in the day, they had some very, very good ones. And she was always like number one, especially when we talk, when I go back. And it was funny. At the time when I saw the list, I'm thinking, it's got to be number one. And then I went down the list, and she was, no question. Olympian. Multi NCAA title list, strength coach. When she was a kid, she knocked the crap out of that ball.
Protect you from the bullies in the neighborhood.
They didn't want to mess with her. We went to the same junior high, kind of stuff like that. You know, just cool. A heck of a good athlete. And then she ended up here at the University of Arizona and did very well, obviously. And then, of course, talking to Bill Frieder is always fun. How you doing, Ruby? Yeah, what do you got for me? What are you doing?
Cedric sounds a little bit older. Is he older?
Yes, he's older. I think he's in his 80s, upper 80s, I think. You can probably Google him and see. But very successful man, obviously, going to lead the NCAA after leaving Tucson. I knew it was very difficult for him to leave because Tucson was his or is his second home. You know, he was here as a student, as an assistant coach for Larson, Bruce Larson. And then you know, went to a few places, Houston Pacific, like you said, Houston Pacific, and then came here, did a fantastic job in the heyday of the Arizona Athletics, and then he went to NCAA, dealt with that, and then retired. You know, what a fantastic resume.
Oh, absolutely. Did you know the story about Tomey? About about him saying, oh, did I choose the wrong guy here? And
yeah, no, it wasn't him. It was somebody else. Dick was maybe the second or third choice on the list because other guys had turned it down.
Yeah, but I mean, the way he said, yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And then the guy said, I don't want to leave.
I knew who he was talking about, an Ohio State coach.
Oh, cool.
I don't want to say who it was because I could get it wrong, but I knew he was talking. It made one of my books, I think. Or I remember the story somehow because Cedric and I talked a few times about my second book, about talking about the history of the program. And then Dick Tomey showed up and did a great job, you know, struggled a little early in his first year, 500, and then did very well. The circumstances of him being fired are kind of murky and depends who you talk to, but, you know, everyone still loves Dick Tomey. I hope he's doing well with his cancer scare. I don't know how he's doing, but Harry's doing better. So we'll see. We'll see. To me, it was just, I was a young kid when I first got here in late 80s. Cedric was well on his way, 5 or 6 years into his AD, mm-hmm. AD work here, and one of the great guys who treated me very well, very fair. And everybody on that staff, very fair, very transparent, very open. Rocky was like that. Bob Bockrath was like that. John Perrin, who he mentioned, he himself, very accessible too.
Right.
Very accessible.
I remember seeing him on TV a lot.
If you needed to have a meeting, just set it up. They'd take you in and you'd be able to be interviewed with them.
When did Tomey leave here?
2000. I think his last year was 2000. After the 99 season for sure. I think it was 2000. Lute, and I might have missed a coach here and there, but I think that, well, Andy Lopez was hired by Jim Livengood. Maybe I hope to get Jim on the show sometime soon, when he's in town, or get him on the road. He's coming back and forth in Vegas, I think, doing some work for some Las Vegas sports companies. You can kind of tell how you even referred to this about maybe a month ago, how I like talking about the good old days.
Well, it sounds like he likes talking about him,
Oh yeah, yeah.
About him too, but I'm sure most of his conversations with his friends and people that see him and
about that.
Hey, let's talk about the good old days.
Yeah, yeah. You're from here, so you don't get this. When I go back home to Santa Fe and I talk about this often, you go back to the same restaurant or same bar, mm-hmm. while you see the same people, and you could have had that conversation 10 years ago.
Yep.
And it's the same conversation, and they're sitting in the same stool, and you say, oh yeah, you know, I hit that home run or hit the whatever, I stole the base, and you say, oh yeah, and you go back, and then 10 years later you do the same thing.
That's cool.
And it never changes.
I guess I get that at Hungry Fox. It's still now.
Yeah,
so.
I hope your father's telling you, Mr. Dio, I think you forgot to pay your bill the last time you were here.
Well, my dad is more of the figurehead over there when he goes in. You know, they put him at the same table, and he's wanting them to, I think, put his name on the table when he's no longer around. But, well, hopefully that'll be a while.
Yeah,
but.
The statue, I always check. Did you build a statue for me yet? No, sorry. Sorry, Steve, we haven't yet to build the statue.
With the number 5 breakfast special or something?
Yeah. Name it after you. My dad had one of those, but not me. Yeah. Hey, tomorrow, I'm not sure what's going to happen in terms of a show with my guests. I'm hoping to have Reggie Geary, maybe a few other players, maybe kind of reminisce about the ASU-U of A series in basketball. Some great games, some very bad games. Arizona just, you know, used to beat the poop out of them. And there was a game when Arizona was destroying them in Tempe. I think it was Rob Evans' time. And I think we talked about this, where the students, they were kind of right on top of you. And Arizona was beaten by 25 or so. And they were giving Lute grief. Yeah, you exactly got it right. And Lute said, you know, with about 5 minutes left, he had had enough of the kids talking to him and yelling at him. He says, just look at the scoreboard. Pointed to the scoreboard and says, there's my response.
That really riled them up.
And
that
riled them up even more. But, you know, they still had to go back to Phoenix and with a loss. I'm going to use that line in my story this weekend. Somehow, some way.
Maybe. Or go back to Tucson or. Yeah.
No. They don't take my poetic license away from me, Mr. Dio. We'll figure a way how to use that.
I'll write the story first.
Go right ahead. Find a place to put it.
You'll have to give me some writing lessons.
No. Like we talked about yesterday, everybody thinks they can do this job.
I just said as long as you give me writing lessons, I'll do the job.
You'll have to pay me what you're making here.
You have to do a TED Talk.
You're a 1090? Is it a 1094? Or 1099?
1099. If you don't want to give me workers' comp and take out taxes, yes.
No, I don't want to.
Otherwise, it'd be a W-2.
Okay, no, 1099. So the women's basketball team plays right after this show. I'm not sure what station, but I think they're on a station. They're in Vegas in the first round of the tournament. They play USC at 3 o'clock, probably about 3:05, something like that. The men play at 2 o'clock on Saturday on CBS here locally. If you have a ticket, good luck. I think it should be packed, the biggest season, the biggest game of the season. They all are, but this is the last game of the season. And we'll see what the attendance is. It's been a kind of a miserable, comparatively, the season in terms of attendance. It's been very meh. They haven't, 12,000 probably a year. It's probably one of the lowest it's been in a while. I think since 2012. It's kind of, if you don't have a good product, guess what happens? Nobody goes to see it.
Football. People are giving the tickets away, you're saying?
Yeah, I've seen a couple people say, I'm not going to use them. Anybody want them? And there's that. And then we'll see how many yellow jerseys are in that arena on Saturday. It means a lot. This game means a lot to ASU. If they can win this game, they could likely get into the NCAA tournament. And there's only going to be probably two teams at the most from the Pac-12.
Washington.
The lowly Pac-12. Yes, what, Washington being the other.
What would their final record be, ASU's final record be then?
20 plus wins and just a few losses. Under 10 for sure. And I can't remember the last time Arizona had a worse record than ASU.
You were a tyke. Were just a tyke.
I was just a tyke. No, I was a lot thinner. I was a lot thinner. And more Harry Potter. Harry Potter-like, yes.
Harry Flacco.
Harry Flacco. Hey, great show today. Thank you very much for listening, everybody.